Learning Sefer Tehillim. This is Shir number 61. We are using the Ma'am Loewe's commentary. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for listening to any of our hundreds of Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. May the learning of Torah also be a merit to the memory of Aaron Fuchs, Shimon, and Hindu Manila of blessed memory. We are holding in chapter 109, pasuk 23. Kitzel kintoso ne'alochti ninarti ka'arbe. I am banished like a lengthening shadow. I am shaken off like a locust. I am very near death, fading away like a shadow that lengthens towards the west before it vanishes. I am shaken off, wandering here and there like a locust. Even as locusts have no nest but leap from fence to fence, so am I. No place is my home, and there is no respite for me. David depicts his situation in the days when he was fleeing from Saul. Forced to wander from place to place, he was like a meandering locust and hungry for bread, a pasuk that's found in Shmuel Aleph. Pasuk 24. Birkai koshlu mitzom ubisori kochash mishomen. My knees totter through fasting, and my flesh is lean without fat. I am so weakened by fasting that my knees totter, and my flesh is lean without the fat it previously had. Some say David recounts his meandering wanderings in the desolate places of the wilderness where no food was to be had. His knees tottered from hunger. Pasuk 25. V'ani hoyisi cherpa lehem yiruni yiniun rosham. I become a disgrace to them. When they see me, they shake their head. My awful condition did not stir their hearts to compassion, not in the least. Rather, I have become a disgrace to them. When they see me, they shake their head. Seeing human misery usually makes a stronger impression than hearing about it, but they merely shake their head at me in ridicule. When they saw me lean and afflicted, they would vilify and humiliate me and shake their head at me. With the interpretation that the psalm is speaking about David's exile during the time he was being pursued by Saul, he says here, my enemies scorn me, and the whole day they keep saying, where is your God? Pasuk 26. Ozreini Hashem Elokoi Ushieni Kechastecho. Help me, O Hashem, my God, deliver me according to your loving kindness. The singer pleads, help me, O Hashem, my God, not to stumble when walking. Deliver me from my enemies, not in accordance with my merit, but according to your great loving kindness. Pasuk 27. The Yedu ki yotcho zos ato Hashem asisa, so they may know that this is your hand, that you Hashem have done it. When you bring me deliverance out of this terrible trouble, they will know that this is your hand, for you alone could do so. You Hashem have done it. They will say you did not act through an envoy. So they may know that this is your hand. They will not be able to take the credit to say our hand is high. Pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim. Some explain that the Torah alludes to redemption. Then everyone will know that the deliverance comes at your hand. No one will claim that it was due to my power and the might of my hand. Pasuk 28. Yikalalu heimo v'atos savorech komu v'yavoshu v'avdecha yismach. Let them curse, but you will bless. When they arise, they will be put to shame, but your servant will rejoice. Because in this psalm he cursed them. The singer now says, if they curse me, I do not fear them. Let them curse, for you will bless, and their curses will not affect me. When they arise to kill me, they will put to shame, for their designs will not be fulfilled, but your servant will then rejoice. If they curse me, I will not be afraid, for you will bless me. Thus it says, for you will bless the righteous man, O Hashem. You will encircle him with favor as with a shield of armor. Hashem turns the curse itself into a blessing. Thus we find in the Talmud that when someone's wine's soured and turned into vinegar, just then miraculously the price of vinegar increased. It sold at the same price as wine. In the case of Yosef, similarly being thrown into a prison led to his rise to dominion. That is what David asked for here. Let them curse, but you will bless. As a result, they will know that this is your hand. They will witness the miracle of the curse having turned into a blessing. Then they who hate me will be clothed with disgrace and will put on their own shame like a robe. As we're going to learn in the next pasuk, the shame they wanted to see in me, they will wear like a cloak. Pasuk 29. Yilbishu sotnai kalima v'yatu chamil bashtam. They who hate me will be clothed with disgrace and will put on their own shame like a robe. When my enemies see me rejoice, they who hate me will be clothed with disgrace. Disgrace is worse than shame. They will put on their own shame like a robe. The shame that humiliates them will envelope them like a cloak. Pasuk Lamed, Pasuk Dari. Ode Hashem Ode Befiyu V'Soch Rabim Alelenu. I will give great thanks to Hashem with my mouth. Yes, I will praise Him among the multitude. When you save me, I will give great thanks to Hashem with my mouth. Yes, I will praise Him among the multitude. Hence, they will all know that my deliverance came by His hand. The thanksgiving will be complete. I will conceal nothing. It will also be complete in the publicity it receives, for I will praise Him among the multitude. I will recount His praise among the many and the great. Some say that the singer is speaking about the redemption, when the Jewish people will be under obligation to give thanks. They will have the same reason to give thanks as those four mentioned earlier. In exile, all the people of Israel were ill. They were imprisoned. They were in the midst of the sea. Thus the nations are called raging waters. They were wanderers in the wilderness. Thus the nations are also likened to the wilderness. A passage that's found in Sefer Yechezkel. At that time, many will convert to become Jews, and therefore I will give great thanks to Hashem with my mouth. Yes, I will praise Him among the multitude. Pasuk 31. Ki yamo limin evyon lohoshia mishoftei nafsho. Because He stands at the right hand of the needy to deliver him from those who judge his soul. Then they will all trust in Hashem, for they will know that He stands at the right hand of the needy to help him against the wicked, to deliver him from those who judge his soul. The evildoers around him wanted to condemn David's soul to death. David explains why I will give great thanks to Hashem. As we learned in the previous pasuk, he will not give thanks for the downfall of his enemies, but for his own salvation. I will give thanks because He stands at the right hand of the needy to deliver him from those who judge his soul. Our sages teach, the pauper stands at your door, and Hashem stands at his right hand. As it says, because He stands at the right hand of the needy, so if you have given Him charity, know that the one who stands at His right hand will give you. If you have not given, know that He will also make you pay, as it says, to deliver Him from those who judge His soul. Now we go to chapter 110, Pasuk 1. The David Mizmor Naum Hashem La Adoni Shev Limini Ad Oshis Oyevecha Hadom Raglecha. Psalm of David. Hashem said to my master, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. David composed the present psalm about Hashem's loving kindness towards our forefather Avram, when Avram pursued and defeated the four kings. During Avram's battle against those kings, Hashem said, sit at my right hand. Do not exert yourself to fight them, for I will fight them for you until I make your enemies your footstool. I will degrade them, make them as lowly as the footstool for Israel. Similarly, the prophet says, therefore will I give men under you. A passage that is found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Another reading says, Hashem said to my master, David calls Avram my master, indicative of the reverence accorded to Avram by his contemporaries, as the sons of Chais said to him, hear us, my Lord. This was Avram's reward, measure for measure, for having called Hashem master of and making it known to all men that Hashem is master of the world. As it says, and he called upon the name of Hashem, that is something not even the greatest men before him had done. Some relate this pasuk to the Messianic king. According to our sages, Rav Yudin said in the name of Acha Bar Hanina, in the future Hashem will seat the king Mashiach to his right and Avram to his left. Avram's face will turn crimson. He will say, my descendant is at your right and I'm at your left. Hashem will appease him, declaring, your descendant is to your right and I am at your right. That is what it says, your condensation has made me great. Thus the pasuk says, and Hashem said that he should say to my master the Mashiach, the son of David. The congregation of Israel calls the Mashiach my master. Pasuk 2. Mate uzcho yishlach Hashem etzion redei bekerev oyevecha. The rod of your strength will Hashem send out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Because Zion is the choicest among all places, the location where the presence of Hashem's strength abides. David says, the rod of your strength, Hashem's help to achieve victory, will Hashem send out of Zion. Then you will rule in the midst of your enemies. Although you will be fighting a vast multitude, so vast it will seem you are swallowed up among them, nevertheless you will be victorious. Some explain that the rod alludes to the bread sent by Melchizedek to Avram upon his return from battle. Others say that the present psalm pertains to David's affairs. The rod of your strength will be the Lord sent out of Zion, refers to the capture of Mount Zion by David at the outset of his reign. Following the conquest of Zion, Hashem began to give you the rod of your strength. Therefore, rule in the midst of your enemies. Extend your dominion over them. Do not fear them. Pasuk 3. Amcho nedavos biyom chelecho behadre kodesh merechem mishchor lecho tal yaldu secho. Your people offer themselves willingly in the majesty of their holiness on the day of your battle, when still the dew of youth was upon you from the womb of dawn. Until now Hashem spoke to Avram. From here on David speaks to him. He says, on the day that you were victorious over your enemies, you became renowned for the generosity of your heart, for you divided many gifts from the spoils of battle. This you did in Yerushalayim, the site of majestic holiness, the holy soil. From the womb of dawn, from the moment you emerged from the womb of your mother, you always retained the dew of youth, the natural moisture of your body. The proof is that after Sarah's death, when he was 147 years old, Avram married Keturah and had many children by her. With the interpretation that the psalm refers to David HaMelech himself, the king says, your people offer themselves willingly in the majesty of their holiness on the day of your battle. If your own merit is not sufficient, you will achieve perfection in the merit of your people whom you rule. For they are the people who offer themselves willingly on the day you march with your army into battle against your enemies. On that day, they appeal for mercy for you, that the freshness of youth stay with you in the course of battle. Pasuk 4. Nishpa Hashem v'lo yonochem ato hoein l'olam al divrasi malki tzedek. Hashem has sworn and will not relent. You will be a priest forever after the manner of malki tzedek, because you gave a tenth part, Maaseh, to malki tzedek, who was a priest of Hashem Most High, as found in the Chumash Bereishis. Hashem has sworn to repay you measure for measure. You will be a priest forever, and the tenth part Maaseh will be given to you after the manner of Melchizedek. Possibly, Kohen priest designates nobility and dominion, as it says, and the sons of David were nobles, ministers of state, pasuk that's found in Shemuel Beis. Regarding kingship for the house of David, Hashem has sworn and will not relent. He swore to David, you will be a priest, a king, and a noble forever. In place of Shaul, whose kingship did not last, I chose you, for you are just king, Melchizedek. Therefore Hashem is at your right hand in battle, and you are victorious. Pasuk 5. Adonai al yemincha mochatz biyom apo melochem. Hashem at your right hand crushed kings in the day of his wrath. When you, Avram, vanquished the four kings Hashem was at your right hand, and he crushed kings in the day of his wrath. Pasuk 6. Yadin bagoyim mole gevios mochas rosh al eretz rabo. He will judge among the peoples full of corpses, crushing heads over a wide land. Because Hashem has been at his right hand, he will judge among the peoples full of corpses, crushing heads of his enemies over a wide land. David executed judgment upon the peoples against whom Avram battled and piled up bodies far and wide. Thus it says that Avram pursued them to Dan. Rashi explains that following Avram's victory over the four kings, the covenant of pieces was established. Hashem informed Avram that he would judge the Egyptians for enslaving the Jews, and they will be full of corpses. Avram's victory over the four kings was symbolic of Israel's eventual victory over the four empires, Babylon, Media, Greece, and Rome. This explains why the previous pasuk spoke in the past tense, while the present pasuk speaks in the future tense. He will judge among the peoples full of corpses. It is further explained in the Zohar in the name of Shimon, in the future Hashem will resurrect all the kings who troubled Israel, Nebuchadnezzar, Sancheriv, and all the others who destroyed his house. He will then openly bring down retribution upon them around Yerushalayim, as it says, "This will be the plague with which Hashem will smite all the peoples that have fought against Yerushalayim," a pasuk that's found in Zechariah. It does not say that will fight, it says they have fought. Hence it says here, he will judge among the peoples full of corpses. Those corpses will live again and be judged. Pasuk 7. Minachal baderech yishte alken yorim rosh. He will drink from the river along the way, therefore he will lift up the head. Although Avram and his men were hungry and thirsty, they persisted in their pursuit of the four kings, drinking from the river along the way. As a result, he will lift up the head. Following his victory, Avram was able to lift his head with pride, for all kings and peoples were afraid of him. When referred to David himself, the pasuk says that he will drink from the river along the way. He drank from the rivers of the nations, and they were afraid to oppose him. His massive armies marched along paths where springs of water were plentiful, and his victories over the peoples living there caused them to lift up the head over them. Thus it says, and David made a name when he returned from smiting Aram in the Valley of Salt, a pasuk that's found in Shmuel Beis. Another interpretation says, notwithstanding the vast multitude of David's enemies, so vast that all the water they draw will not be enough, and they will drink from the river along the way, even so he will lift up the head. David will be victorious over his enemies. Now we go to chapter 111, pasuk 1. Hallelujah, Oda Hashem, Bechol Leva Vesod Yishorim Eder. Hallelujah, praise Hashem, I will give thanks to Hashem with my whole heart in the council of the upright and in the congregation. Hallelujah, King David cries out, give thanks to Hashem, all of you, just as I give thanks to Hashem with my whole heart. I give thanks not only with my mouth, but with my whole heart. I do not give thanks in seclusion, but in the council of the upright and in the congregation. This very noble psalm is based on the order of the alphabet. It calls upon men to look closely at the works of Hashem and to remember at all times his wonders and the might of his powerful deeds. David tells all singers, praise Hashem as I will do. I will give thanks to Hashem with my whole heart, with wholehearted devotion, in the council of the upright and in the congregation. I will give thanks to Hashem in the midst of the Jewish people whose deeds are upright. The purpose of this psalm is to implant in our hearts faith in Hashem and belief in the creation of the world, that He can change the patterns of nature in accordance with His will, that His special supervision is over the people of Israel as His chosen people. Above all, it teaches us not to despair of the redemption despite the length of exile. The Zohar says Hallelujah is the loftiest of all the 10 praises uttered by David HaMelech. But this expression, joins praise, Hallel, and the holy name, Yudkei, of Hashem's name. Similarly, so in other words, the word Hallel is praise and also has Hashem's name in it. Similarly, every psalm composed by David according to alphabetical order is replete with hidden matter. I will give thanks to Hashem with my whole heart. Whenever King David recited a song to Hashem, he drew along with him all the hearts of the Jewish people. As he said, I will praise him among the multitude. This is to be understood literally, as it says, whereupon David blessed Hashem before the eyes of all the congregation. A pasuk that's found in Divrei Hayomim. That is to say, by his words he enlightened the eyes of all the congregation. They thus saw and understood that yours, O Hashem, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. He was able to accomplish this because he did not act as a private individual. Through total submergence of his private self, it was in his power to stir every heart among the children of Israel. The present psalm speaks in praise of Hashem, and the following psalm speaks in praise of the Tzaddik who emulates the attributes of Hashem. Majestic and splendid in his work, and his righteousness endures forever. The Tzaddik, his righteousness endures forever. Even as the Holy One has given food to those who fear him, so the Tzaddik has distributed, he has given to the needy. The Holy One favors with grace and is compassionate. And likewise it says about the Tzaddik, well is it with the man who favors with grace and lends. The good man favors with grace and is compassionate. Hashem has sent redemption to his people, and the good man redeems the needy. He has distributed, he has given to the needy. Pasuk 2. Gedolim ma'asei Hashem derushim l'chol chatzehem. The works of Hashem are great, sought out by all who desire them. The works of Hashem are great. This refers to the natural phenomena that no being has the power to duplicate. They are sought out by all who desire them. They are readily accessible to anyone who wants to observe them closely. Others say, no matter how much one may desire to know them, they continue to be sought out, for it is impossible to know them. The works of Hashem are great in that he did not create a single useless thing, as our sages have taught. A gnat or a hornet was created to kill the scorpion. Even regarding those things where we do not know why they were created, we say majestic and splendid is his work, for the world has need of them. We may infer that just as the Almighty nourishes them even though they seem useless, so he nourishes the entire world even when it is not deserving of it. The works of Hashem are great, understood only in the secret counsel of the upright and in the congregation. There are other great works of Hashem, namely the mitzvahs which are sought out by all who desire them. The concealed things are not sought out by everyone, nor can they be grasped by every person who desires to know them. It is otherwise for the deeds which Hashem has commanded us to perform. They are necessary for everyone, easily accessible to all who seek them out. Our sages teach, Hashem is great, and those who praise him are great. He is great, as it says, great is Hashem, and highly praised. Those who praise him are great, as it says, Hashem has done great things with these. What is their reward? The Almighty attires those who praise him with majesty and splendor. As it says, majestic and splendid is his work. Thus the singer also says, let your work appear to your servants and your splendor upon their children. Then again, the pasuk refers to the Torah. It harbors many secret matters, and its explicit content teaches the children of Israel to follow the right path. Thus it says, the works of Hashem are great and profound. Then again, the Torah also includes things sought out by all who desire them. On the one hand, majestic and splendid is his work. On the other hand, his righteousness endures forever. The Torah deals out justice and equity and gives life in both worlds to those who keep her commandments. The works of creation of Hashem are great, containing wondrous wisdom beyond measure. They are sought out by all who desire them. This wisdom is revealed in accordance with how much people are willing to study the works of the Creator. This is specifically true of the Jewish people, for the Shabbos was given to us for contemplating the works of the Creator. This theme forms the foundation of Psalm 92, a psalm, a song for the Shabbos day. How great are your works, O Hashem! Your thoughts are very deep. A brutish man does not know it, neither does a fool understand this. Human products are limited to specific uses. For instance, a wagon is for traveling on land. A ship is for traversing the sea. But the works of Hashem are great. They have many uses. Thus the sun warms, makes the fruit grow, whitens some things, then blackens others, and does many other good things. Pasuk 3. Hoid v'hodor pa'oloi v'titkoso amedes luan. Majestic and splendid is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. There is majesty and splendor in his works. They are splendid in beauty. As our sages have said, all the works of creation were formed in their full stature, in their intelligence and in their will. The last means that they were even asked how they wanted to be created, and then were created in accordance with their wishes. They were formed in their full beauty. His righteousness endures forever. The beneficence that he bestowed upon creation endures forever. The work of Hashem is superior to the work of man in yet another way. The type of work that men do is at times devoid of all attraction and satisfaction. Take, for instance, working in a tannery, not so the work of Hashem. His work is majestic and splendid. All detailed aspects of creation were created in their full beauty and splendor. What is more, his righteousness endures in the world forever. His works last forever. Then again, it means that Hashem renews his beneficence every day continually. Majesty and splendor is his work. This refers to the works of heaven and all the celestial host. Thus it says about them, Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with majesty and splendor. There is also the beauty due to the stars, as it says, by his spirit the heavens were made fair. What is more, the stars seem to last forever. Pasuk 4. Zecher osel in the osel chanun v'rachum Hashem. He has made a memorial for his wondrous works. Hashem favors with grace and is compassionate. Hashem commanded in the Torah that we are to make a memorial for his wondrous works performed for us in Mitzrayim. Thus he commanded us regarding the Korban Pesach and the eating of the matzah and more. All these commandments are a reminder that Hashem favors with grace and is compassionate. According to Rashi, this refers to the Shabbos. The Shabbos commemorates the exodus from Mitzrayim. It also makes known that Hashem favors with grace and is compassionate towards his children. It is his will to make them righteous. For the same reason he commanded us regarding the festivals as a memorial for his wondrous works. That is to say, his intention was to favor us with the grace of knowledge and understanding to fathom his greatness. His transcendent greatness is attested to both by the order of nature and by the fact that he can disrupt the order of nature. Hashem performs wonders in every generation, just as he did in Mitzrayim. Accordingly, he has made a memorial via the commandment, you shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If you will afflict them, and they cry to me, I will surely hear their cry, for I favor with grace. The works of Hashem are very great, as we learned earlier. Thus, every deed is a memorial to something even greater. This was Hashem's purpose in order to benefit his creation. Different is the way of flesh and blood of man. Pasuk 5. Teref nosan lireyov yizkor le'olam briso. He has given food to those who fear him. He will remember his covenant forever. When the Jews departed from Mitzrayim, he gave food to those who fear him. He granted them the money they had earned by the sweat of their brows. For throughout he remembered the covenant he had established with Avram, when he promised him that his descendants will come out with great wealth, as found in Chumash Bereishis. Our sages expound, in this world he has given food to those who fear him. but in the future he will remember his covenant forever. Thus it is written concerning Avram, I will bless you and make your name great. After having left his native land, he was beset by a famine, but he did not let this disturb him, and he did not rebel, for the Almighty provided the patriarchs, the others, with food in anticipation of what would happen to future generations. That is to say, in times of distress, the Jewish people would be helped in the merit of the patriarchs. The Medrash explains why in this world the righteous do not possess both Torah learning and greatness at the same time. Two reasons are given. One is that the tzaddik should remember his covenant for eternity. He should remember what is being reserved for him in the world that is all good. Secondly, it is to keep the righteous from devoting themselves to other things. The term teref, like the first word of our pasuk, literally game, killed for food, conveys two meanings, food and pain. This indicates that one attains perfection through pain. As it says in Hosea, though I have afflicted them and strengthened their arms, just as Saul preserves the meat, so affliction sustained the Jewish people. Another interpretation says, he has given food to those who fear him. The righteous man must toil for his livelihood, and that is for his good. Wealth might drive him insane. Our sages interpret similarly the pasuk that is found in Mishlei. Feed me, hafifeni, with my allotted portion. Let it be hard to obtain my bread, lest I become overly sated. Pasuk 6. Koach masov higid le'amol losais lehem nachlas goyim. He has declared to his people the power of his works to give them the heritage of the nations. When they were still in Mitzrayim, Hashem made known to his people that he will perform wonders for them and order them then to give them the heritage of the nations. Thus he said to Moshe, therefore say to the children of Israel, I am Hashem, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of Mitzrayim, and I will deliver you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments, and I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Avram, and I will give it to you as a heritage. These are psukim that are found in Chumash Shemos. Our sages have expounded the present pasuk as follows. He has declared to his people the power of his works. Why did Hashem reveal what he created on the first day and the second day? So the nations of the world would not point to Israel as a robber nation that took possession of a land belonging to others. Now the Jewish people respond. The land in your possession is the land violently wrested from others. The Kaftorim came from Kaftor, exterminated the local population, and settled in their place, as found in Chumash Devarim. The world and its fullness belongs to Hashem. When He wanted, He gave it to you, and when He wanted, He took it from you and gave it to us. That is what it says here. Hashem set forth before them, declared to His people the events of all generations, in order to give them the heritage of the nations. He conveyed to the Jewish people that previously the land was occupied by peoples unworthy of it. They were thus informed that the land is not granted them as an inheritance except on account of their spiritual superiority. They will hold on to it so long as they adhere to the Torah. Once they abandon the Torah, the land will revert back to the nations who had it earlier. To receive back the land, those nations will not require a new mandate for it, since they had been the first to possess it. In the future, however, it will become clear to everyone that Hashem is prior to any ancient peoples. Hence, He rightfully took the land out of their possession. The end letters of the words Bereishis Bara Elokim, in the beginning Hashem created, spells Emes, truth. This makes it known that everything Hashem did was in accord with truth and justice. Thus it says, the works of His hands, the wars that He waged against the nations to drive them from the land of Israel, are truth and justice, as we will learn in the next pasuk. There was no injustice, and there was truth. There was truth, for He fulfilled His promise to Avram. There was justice, because those nations were not worthy of dwelling in this land on account of their evil deeds, as it says, but in the fourth generation the Jews will come back here, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full. This means that the nations of Canaan were driven out of the land because of their sins. The measure of their iniquity was then full. Because the land of Israel is holy ground, it is not proper for those who commit abominations to dwell there. Thus it also says, for the wickedness of these nations does Hashem drive them out from before you, and that he may establish the word which Hashem swore to your fathers, as found in Chumash Devarim. Thus everything is truth and justice. The term Koach, power, here alludes to the first pasuk of Bereishis that is comprised of 28 letters. Thus the present pasuk says he has declared to his people the power of his works after creation. Hashem informed his people that he acts in loving kindness, justice and righteousness, and they are to emulate him, as it says, after the deeds of the land of Mitzrayim shall you not do, and after the deeds of the land of Canaan into which I bring you shall you not do, neither shall you walk in their practices. You shall do my judgments. Sukkim that are found in Chumash Vayikra. The entire Torah comprises the attributes of Hashem and his deeds, and one who acts in accordance with his deeds will have dominion in his world. He has declared to his people the power of his works. Hashem gives to his people the strength to perform mightily, so the nations would credit them with his deeds. His purpose is to give them the heritage of the nations. The nations of the world would think that power stems from the might of Israel and will flinch before them. Pasuk 7. Ma'ase yodav emes u'mishpat ne'amonim kol pekudav. The works of his hands are truth and justice. All his commands are faithful. Some say that the singer refers here to the tablets of the law, which were the works of his hands, as it says, and the tablets were the work of Hashem. These tablets are truth and justice. Since the inscribed commandments include truth and justice, they teach belief in the oneness of Hashem as well as justice in human relations. All his commands are faithful, including those that were not explicitly inscribed in the tablets. The works of Hashem are superior to human endeavors also in this regard. Human actions can sometimes result in bad consequences, but not so the works of Hashem. For the works of his hands are truth and justice. All his commands are faithful to the truth forever. All his commands are faithful, including those laws whose reasons are not understood. They are as much as a faithful part of the Torah as are its principles and concepts. Moreover, the mitzvahs are true in that they are not contradictory. On the contrary, they complete with each other. As it says, the Torah of Hashem is perfect, restoring the soul. Human actions can be tainted by falsehood or wrongdoing. Even when one acts in truth and justice, his actions can still possibly result in a certain amount of falsehood or wrongdoing. It is otherwise for the works of Hashem. They are truth rather than falsehood. They are justice rather than iniquity. What is more, all his commands are faithful. They will never subvert truth and justice. Pasuk 8, as we're going to learn right now. Semuchim lo'ad la'olam asuyim be'emes v'yosher. They are established forever and ever. They are done in truth and uprightness. The singer continues, all the faithful commands are established forever and ever. They stand on a strong foundation and will never be shaken. They are done in truth and uprightness, and the way of truth and uprightness lasts forever. It is true of the works of men that once any work is completed, it is no longer has need of its maker. Not so the works of Hashem. They continue to require Hashem's power in order to exist. That is what the singer says here. They are established forever and ever. They are done in truth and uprightness. Good and evil are not measured by what is good temporarily and what is evil temporarily. They are measured by what is eternally good or evil. This holds true for the works of Hashem, and hence they are true and upright absolutely. Another interpretation says they are done in truth and uprightness. Only the man who is truthful and upright, to the extent that he makes himself upright and attains to the truth, only he has found the illumination of the mitzvahs. Our sages have adduced from here that one makes inferences in law from the fact that particular passages of the Torah are adjacent, literally meaning of smucha, for it is not by chance that they are adjacent. Indeed, one is to adduce many wondrous matters from this, because they are truly done in truth and uprightness. They were expressly written in this adjacent manner in order to be expounded. The latter masters have written that in every generation one should make such inferences from adjacent texts wherever the text permitted. Thus it says here, adjacent ones, samuchim, are to be expounded forever and ever. That is so, however, only when the adjacent texts are done in truth and uprightness. The exposition must be true and proper. Pasuk 9. Pedus sholach le'amo tziva le'olam beriso kodesh v'nor shmo. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The Torah says that Hashem commanded these mitzvahs only after he redeemed the Jews from Mitzrayim. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever in that order. Hashem's Torah is called a covenant, as it says, if not for my covenant, I would not have appointed day and night the laws of heaven and earth. A pasuk that's found in Sefer Yirmiyahu. Holy and awesome is his name. Therefore must we keep his commandments and become holy through awe of him. For Hashem is the Holy One who sanctified the people of Israel, and he distinguished them from among the nations. Thus the Almighty says, for I am Hashem your God. You will therefore sanctify yourselves, and you will be holy, for I am holy. A pasuk found in Chumash Vayikra. Accordingly, the Torah here goes on to say, the fear of the Hashem is the beginning of wisdom. By sanctifying ourselves through keeping the mitzvahs, we will come to be reckoned together with the supernal holy beings who sanctify and glory his name. Pasuk Yud. Reishis chochma yiras Hashem seichel tov l'chol oseihem tehilaso omedes lu'ad. The fear of Hashem is the beginning of wisdom. A good intelligence of all those who do them, keep his commandments, his praise endures forever. The Torah comprises two kinds of teachings, wisdom and fear of Hashem. According to our Chachamim, our sages, if one's fear of sin anticipates his wisdom endures. Hence the Torah says here, the fear of Hashem is the beginning of wisdom. What is more, a good intelligence have all those who do them. Whoever has kept the mitzvahs before he studies will acquire good intelligence. His comprehension will then be based on the foundation of peace and benevolence which the practical mitzvahs promote in the person. Indeed, his praise, the excellence of his perfected intelligence, endures forever, that is, even after death. One might ask, if Hashem redeemed us from Mitzrayim, why was not the redemption everlasting? The answer is that the redemption was based on the condition. The fear of Hashem is the beginning of wisdom. When this condition is fulfilled, and the people of Israel keep the commandments of Hashem, then they possess good intelligence, whose praise endures forever. Then the redemption will endure forever. Our sages say that the following saying was constantly in Rebbe's mouth. The purpose of wisdom is repentance and good deeds. A man should not be versed in the Torah and learned in Talmud and yet keep kicking his father and mother or his teacher or those greater than himself in wisdom and numbers. As it says, the fear of Hashem is the beginning of wisdom. A good intelligence have all those who do. His commandments, his praise endures forever. It does not say to those who study them. It says to those who do them. They keep the mitzvahs purely because he commanded them, rather than for any ulterior motives. As for those who keep them out of ulterior motives, it were better had they never been created. That is to say, at the outset, our deeds should be done out of fear of Hashem, even if we do not understand. Subsequently, we will fathom their meaning. That was the Jews' intention when they said, we will do and we will hear, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Shemos. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosan said, when one's fears of Hashem precedes one's wisdom, the wisdom endures. As it says, the fear of Hashem is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, if one has first trained himself to fear sin, when subsequently he begins to study, he will discover that the Torah prepares him to follow the path in life for which he has already trained himself. This will intensify his love for the Torah and amplify his desire to continue his studies. As a result, his Torah learning will stay with him. If, on the contrary, he falls into the habit of sin and transgression and then sees that Torah wisdom interferes with his habitual sinfulness, in the end he will abandon the Torah. Great is the trait of God-fearing which a man can fulfill 1,000 times a day. For every hour and every moment that he recalls the mitzvahs and his heart trembles, he fulfills you will fear the Hashem your God, a pasuk found in Chumash Devarim. In the Besorah Concordance it says, and you will speak to all who are of wise heart, Chachmei Lev, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, pasuk is found in Chumash Shemos. The numerical equivalent of Chachmei Lev Asher is the same as 611 as that of Yiras, fear of Hashem. The psalm concludes with fear of Hashem. For if a man is perfected in intelligence, character traits, and the fear of Hashem, he will be found worthy of true and complete happiness, and his righteousness will endure in the future. That is what the singer says here. The fear of Hashem is the beginning of wisdom. When he will have wisdom and the fear of Hashem, then his soul will endure forever. Please turn tape over to side B, and if you're listening to a CD, please be patient for a few moments. Now we go to chapter 112, pasuk 1. Hallelujah, Ashrei Ish Yorei Es Hashem Mitzvosav Chofetz Me'od. Hallelujah, praise Hashem, happy is the man who fears Hashem, who greatly delights in His commandments. The present magnificent psalm continues the theme of the upright man of excellent traits, whose reward is complete in this world and in the world to come. Happy is the man who is careful not to transgress the negative commandments, because he fears only Hashem, not because he fears men of flesh and blood. He is as carefully observant in private as he is in public. This man greatly delights in his commandments, the positive commandments. He keeps them with a willing heart, not in order to appear great before others, but out of his love for Hashem, who commanded us to keep them. He greatly delights in them. He seeks out opportunities to perform the mitzvahs and exerts himself to perform them with utmost zeal. Our sages expound, he delights in his commandments rather than in the reward for keeping his commandments. In other words, he does not perform them in order to be rewarded. They have also said, happy is he who repents when he is a man, who overcomes his natural inclination like a man. It says greatly, he embellishes his performance of the mitzvahs by spending a great deal of money, and he causes other people to perform the mitzvahs. Because he fears Hashem, he greatly delights in the mitzvah themselves. He does not desire the reward for performing the mitzvahs. As Antignos Ish Socho said, as we find in Pirkei Avos, do not be like servants who serve the master in order to receive pay. Another possible interpretation says, happy is the man who fears Hashem. Happy is the man who keeps the commandments out of fear of Hashem, but greatly happy is the man who performs them out of love rather than out of fear. This also alludes to the mitzvahs concerning man-to-man relations. Thus one should trade honestly, which requires mighty resolve. Accordingly, the holy text write, if a man eats with dishonest money, even his children are dulled. It is as if they had eaten forbidden foods and thus grew up on wrongdoing. It is otherwise for the man who greatly delights in his commandments. He trades honestly, and his seed will be the generation of the upright, who are blessed. They will deserve blessing. It is written in the Sefer Hasidim, happy is the man who fears Hashem, who greatly delights in his commandments. The pasuk does not say who keeps his commandments, for there are men whose all-out passion of soul is to perform mitzvahs and study, but because they are occupied earning a livelihood, the yoke of providing for their families does not permit them to perform mitzvahs. Any such man greatly delights in his commandments, and so he prays that the Creator enable him to perform the mitzvahs. Pasuk 2. Gibor bo'oretz yezaro dor yishor mivorach. We're actually in chapter 112, pasuk 2. His seed will be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. God will also reward the progeny of the man who performs good deeds, who fears Hashem, and greatly delights in His commandments. His seed will be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed, because his offspring will be an upright generation who look to their forefather and follow his life path. They will be blessed from Hashem. The generation of the upright will be blessed. The God-fearing man influences his entire generation to be upright. Thus our sages teach. Fear of Hashem was a minor matter for Moshe, and he said, and now Israel, what does Hashem your God require of you but to fear Hashem your God? A pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim. Due to Moshe's fear of God and saintliness, it was easy for all others to attain fear of Hashem. Compare it to a bottle filled to the brim and glasses around it to catch the overflow. Thus the Torah says here, happy is the man who fears Hashem, who greatly delights in his commandments, for as a result his seed will be mighty upon the earth. His first influence, overflow, will affect his own children. If his influence grows, it will then pass on to affect the entire generation, until the generation of the upright will be blessed. Every man who fears Hashem will be blessed by Hashem. Another interpretation says his seed will be as important as an entire generation. This generation of the upright will be blessed. Their righteousness will be so great that even in the generation where everyone is upright, they will be especially blessed. Some say that the Torah speaks here in praise of the tzaddik of great heart who serves Hashem out of love, rather than because he fears punishment. He merits that his children too be like him. It is otherwise for the one who attains his stature by scrubbing himself clean of the evil powers within him for fear of punishment. Others say that the pasuk specifically refers to a very young man who devotes himself to spiritual matters and attends to the needs of other men. Pasuk 3. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his merit, charitableness, righteousness endures forever. Although the man who greatly delights in his commandments dispenses much charity, wealth or riches are in his house. There is both wealth, meaning food, and riches, silver and gold. Even though his charitableness endures forever, he lacks nothing. On the contrary, wealth and riches are in his house. Another interpretation says, because he acquired his wealth and riches by righteous means, his merit will endure forever. The novelty is that he performs charity with wealth and riches that are in his house. He does not guard his possessions. It would not be extraordinary if he dispensed charity from funds located in the sea, on the ship, or at some other location. He is in danger of losing it anyway. Our sages expound, one who studies Torah and teaches it, or if he writes the Torah, the prophets and the writings, and lends out these texts to others, of him the Torah says, wealth and riches are in his house, and his charitableness merit endures forever. That is to say, if he teaches others, the learning also remains his own. Likewise, if he writes sacred texts, and they remain in his house, he still practices charity. Thus have they also said, if one sells his father's Torah scroll, he will never see a measure of blessing. But one who keeps the Torah scroll in his house, of him the Torah says, wealth and riches are in his house, and his merit endures forever. What is extraordinary here is that even when he is permitted to sell the Torah scroll, for instance, in order to marry or to study Torah, but keeps from selling it, he will meet with success. A subtle interpretation says that this pertains to one who keeps a Torah scroll in his home. That is, he conducts himself piously in private, as it says, and walk humbly with your God, a pasuk that is found in Sefer Micha. One must be humble even when performing a public mitzvah, as when he accompanies a bride or follows a corpse to the cemetery. As it says, I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. Such a man will merit that his righteousness endures forever. To follow a corpse here means handling all the details of burial as need be. To accompany a bride means to handle the details of the wedding. Notwithstanding that he will merit to possess wealth and riches in his house, he will not falter in his fear of Hashem, and his righteousness endures forever. His wealth and riches will not cause him to transgress what he knows to be the will of his Maker. Pasuk 4. Zerach b'choshech or la'ishorim chanun v'rachum mitzadik. To the upright he shines as a light in the darkness, favors with grace, is compassionate and righteous. Having said that the children of the God-fearing man will be upright and blessed, the singer continues, to the upright, to that generation of the upright, he shines as a light in the darkness. Here light is a figurative expression for deliverance. The light of Hashem means that he favors with grace, is compassionate and righteous. The Medrash says that Hashem himself, as it were, made light for them. Thus it says, Hashem is my light and my deliverance. And it also says the pasuk in Micha, when I sit in darkness, Hashem will be a light to me. When I sit in darkness in the world, troubles afflict me. Hashem will shine the light, for he is righteous and upright. To those who are good, he grants in accordance with their way, and to those who are bad, in accordance with their deeds. The Almighty favors with grace, is compassionate and righteous, by manifesting his mercy and saving them. Some say that this refers to the tzaddik himself, rather than to Hashem. The upright individual favors with grace, is compassionate and righteous. He shines of his light upon the people of Israel. Another interpretation says, light shines for the upright in the midst of darkness. That is to say, they see the light that is present in darkness. Pasuk 5. Tov ish chonein umalve yechalkel devorov bemishpat. Well is it with the man who favors with grace and lends, who orders his affairs rightfully. Well is it with a man who favors the poor with grace by giving and lending them of his money. It is well to arrange his gifts and loans rightfully and with tact by acting at the proper time and in the proper fashion. Rashi explains, well is it with a man who favors with grace and lends to the needy. Let him lend, let him not claim that he lacks the resources. He orders his affairs rightfully. He uses good judgment to acquire the things he needs in proper measure, and he is careful with his money. The man who favors with grace and lends should order his affairs rightfully. That is, he should lend with a loan contract or else have witnesses. When subsequently he comes to collect the justice of his claim, will be acknowledged by everyone. Otherwise, he will be one of those who cry out and not answer. The Medrash says, when you lend money to one of my people who is poor with you, a pasuk is found in Chumash Shemos. Hence it says here, well is it with the man who favors with grace and lends, who orders his affairs rightfully. That is to say, if he lends without interest, he does not become a partner to the borrower who works at earning his livelihood. That is as it should be, for the poor man does not have to work for his creditor by paying him interest. On the contrary, the poor man shares in his livelihood. That is so, however, only when he orders his affairs rightfully. He does not spend his money on luxuries. Then he also has enough for aiding the poor and needy. There's a related story about the brother Rabbeinu Avadya of Bartanur, the famous commentator to the Mishnah. He saved on living expenses for his family, living frugally in order to provide for Rabbeinu Avadya, and thus enable him to study Torah. Pasuk 6. Ki lo'olam lo yimot lezeicho olam yetzarek. For he will never be moved, faltered. The righteous man will be in everlasting remembrance. If he will thus favor the poor man with grace and lend him of his money, the poor man will never falter. As a result, the righteous man will be in everlasting remembrance. He will forever continue to dispense charity, and so will always be remembered as a charitable man. That is so provided he orders his affairs rightfully. A man who gives away of his money will naturally have less, but one who disperses his money for charity will never falter. On the contrary, he will be in everlasting remembrance, as our sages have expounded. One who runs to dispense charity will always be provided with money by Hashem. This so that he should be able to go on dispensing charity. Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk 7. Mishmuo ro'o lo yiro nochon libo betuach Hashem. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in Hashem. Such a man whose heart is steadfast with trust in Hashem will not be afraid of evil tidings that come from heaven. His heart trusts in Hashem, and so he will not fear evil tidings. It is otherwise for the evildoer about whom it says in Iyov, the voice of fears is in his ears. When the tzaddik hears of evil tidings from his children or from his kinsmen in another city, his heart is steadfast, trusting in Hashem. He does not place his trust in his wealth, in his great accomplishments, or in his many friends and relations. He trusts in Hashem alone, and therefore he will not be afraid. The excellence of Hillel was that he learned to accept suffering with love, and he so educated his family. Accordingly, the pasuk does not say that he will not hear evil tidings. Rather, he will not be afraid of evil tidings. He will not be afraid of it when it comes. When will he not be afraid of evil tidings? When his heart is steadfast, trusting in Hashem. That is to say, the evil tidings does not affect his integrity. For all things are as nothing to him, so long as they do not affect his integrity. Our sages have expounded this pasuk as referring to Avram, of whom it says, "Now I know that you fear Hashem." A pasuk that is found in the Chumash Bereishis. He feared Hashem, fearing nothing else. It is not possible to be truly God-fearing if one harbors fears of anything else. Pasuk Ches. Samuch libo lo yira ad she yira betzorah. His heart is resolute. He is unafraid. He will yet see his enemies. His heart is resolute, and he relies on Hashem. Therefore, he is unafraid of any man. He walks in the secure expectation to see judgment executed upon his enemies. His heart is resolute. He is unafraid of the troubles that come from heaven. He will yet see his enemies because he is also unafraid of the troubles that come at the hand of man. Because his heart is resolute and he trusts in Hashem, the previous pasuk, he is unafraid of man. He walks securely at all times trusting in Hashem. He is certain that he will yet see his enemies suffer the calamity he wants to see them suffer. Pasuk 9. Pizar Nosa Levyonim Sitkoso Omedes Lo'ad Karno Torah B'chavon. He has distributed, he has given to the needy, his righteousness endures forever, his horn will be exalted in honor. The Torah depicts one way of being charitable. He has distributed, he has given to the needy. If one customarily dispenses charity to many paupers rather than to one person, his righteousness endures forever. If he has trained himself to persist thus at fulfilling the mitzvah of dispensing charity, his horn will be exalted in honor. In the merit of dispensing charity many times, he will merit more honor than by dispensing charity but once. He does not give charity directly from hand to hand in order not to embarrass the recipient. Rather, he has distributed in the manner of one scattering it about. Such a donor merits that his righteousness endures forever, and his horn will be exalted in honor, measure for measure. Just as he was concerned for the honor of the pauper, so will he merit to gain honor. Thus it says, "Sow for yourselves honor," a pasuk that is found in Sefer Hosea. In other words, dispense charity in the same way as sowing is done. After the seeds are scattered, the ground is once again plowed to cover the seeds with sorrow. One should give charity anonymously. His righteousness endures forever. A transgression extinguishes a mitzvah, but it does not extinguish charity. Accordingly, when a man dies, the mitzvah of having dispensed charity walks before him. This mitzvah lasts forever, and no transgression can extinguish it. If one dispenses a large sum among a few people, he cannot dispense more. But if he gives small sums to many paupers, it is certain that he will always continue to keep giving, for it has become a habit with him, part of his nature. It is otherwise for the person who gives but once. Thus the Rambam explains reward increases in accordance with an increase in one's deeds. Pasuk 10. Rasha Yira V'cho'os Shinov Yacharok V'nomos Tavas Rishoyim Tove. The wicked one will see and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked will perish. When the wicked man sees the tzaddik distribute his money to the needy, he looks forward to seeing him become poor as a result of his generosity. If the opposite occurs, this makes him angry. As the present pasuk says, the wicked one will see and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. He will gnash his teeth against the righteous man enough to want to kill him. Instead, his terrible vexation will cause his own flesh to melt away. Thus, the desire of the wicked to see the tzaddik become poor will perish. When the evildoer sees the tzaddik honored, out of deep envy he rages. He gnashes his teeth against him. If he had the power to kill him, he would do so. Instead, the desire of the wicked will perish, so he should never see evil befall the righteous. In these psukim, the singer contrasts the evildoer with the tzaddik. He depicts the three good things that happened to the righteous man, as against the three failures suffered by the wicked man. In contrast to the fact that the tzaddik will not be afraid of evil tidings, the wicked one will see and be vexed. Whereas the tzaddik marries to see his adversary's distress, the evildoer will gnash his teeth and melt away. In contrast to the righteous man, whose horn will be exalted in honor, that the desire of the wicked will perish, even their craving to witness the defeat of the tzaddik will perish. The singer also indicates the measure of evil of the wicked man. He does not want to give charity, and he does not want others to give. In contrast to the man of piety and kindness, the wicked one will see and be vexed. A related interpretation says, the desire of the wicked for evil, rather than the wicked themselves, will perish. As our sages have taught regarding the pasuk that says, "Itamu chatoim min oretz," that the sins cease from the earth, sins and not sinners. Chapter 113, pasuk 1. Hallelujah, hallelujah, avdei Hashem, hallelujah, shem Hashem. Hallelujah, praise Hashem, praise O you servants of Hashem, praise the name of Hashem. Pasuk 2. Yehi Hashem Hashem mevorach me'ata vad olam. Blessed be the name of Hashem from this time forth and forever. The present psalm is based on the recognition that the divine supervision extends over all of Hashem's creatures. The singer turns to the people of Israel and says, praise Hashem, praise all you servants of Hashem, praise the name of Hashem. The Medrash expounds, I call to remembrance my song in the night. It's a pasuk that we already learned previously in Tillim. Whenever I recall the miracles that you performed for me, Klal Yisrael, in the night of Egyptian bondage, I would pray to you and recite the songs and psalms in the night. Thus it says, you will have a song as in the night when a festival is hallowed, a pasuk that is found in Sefer Yeshayahu. On that night we were redeemed and we departed from bondage to freedom. We have been slaves to Paro, but you redeemed us and we became your servants. That is what it says here. Praise Hashem, praise O you servants of Hashem. When Hashem took Israel out of Egypt, all mankind knew that he created the world and that he can change the laws of nature at will. This also became clear due to the plagues and the splitting of the sea. Accordingly, the singer says, praise Hashem, the name of God whereby the world was created. For this reason, therefore, praise O you servants of Hashem. At your exodus from Mitzrayim, Hashem performed a greater wonder than anything he did for any of the other nations. It is fitting, therefore, that you praise the name of Hashem, his full name. The substance of the present psalm stems from the singer's desire to speak about the exodus from Egypt. Accordingly, he begins by describing the greatness of Hashem, who acts in the world in accordance with his will. He elevates the lowly and brings low the haughty, as he did for the Jews in Egypt. Accordingly, he says praise three times. We are obliged to praise Hashem many times. He says to the Jewish people in particular, "Praise, O you servants of Hashem. It is especially fitting that you praise Hashem. It's a great honor for us to be servants of Hashem. Hence, it is our duty to acclaim the great glory of the King, whose servants we are. Accordingly, the singer tells us, 'Blessed be the name of Hashem from this time forth and forever. From the rising of the sun to its setting, praise be the name of Hashem.' We, the Jewish people, believe in divine providence for every person. So it is fitting that we should glory in the fact that we are servants of Hashem. These pesukim inform us that not everyone is worthy of praising Hashem. The privilege is reserved for those who are servants of Hashem. As the Torah says elsewhere, 'Behold, bless Hashem, all your servants of Hashem who stand in the house of Hashem in the nights.' Regarding the one who is praised, the Torah says, 'Praise the name of Hashem, for we do not grasp Hashem in His essence, only His name. As Moshe said, 'Because I will call upon the name of Hashem, ascribe greatness to our Hashem.' This is a pasuk that is found in Chumash Devarim. Concerning the span of time, the Torah says, 'Blessed be the name of Hashem from this time forth and forever.' Concerning extension in space, it says, 'From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Hashem is praised.' Thus it says similarly, 'For from the rising of the sun until its setting, my name is great among the nations, and in every place incense is burned, and sacrifices are offered to my name.'" Pasuk that's found in Malachi. According to our sages, Hashem is thus called God of gods. Some say, "Praise, O you servants of Hashem," towards the physical redemption. Although at this time we are still slaves of Ahasuerus, redemption of the soul will never be absent from us. Thus it says, "Blessed be the name of Hashem from this time forth and forever." There is a significant difference between being servants of another human being and being servants of Hashem. A man who is in bondage to another man searches for strategies to terminate his bondage. It is otherwise for servants of Hashem who seek ways and strategies to accept the yoke of heaven. The Sefer Hasidim writes about prayer as follows. If a man lives in the village and there is not the required quorum of 10 Jews for the reciting the sacred service as a congregation, or else if he has arrived late for the congregational service, let him recite, 'Let the power of my Hashem be great, as you have spoken,' saying, a pasuk is found in Chumash Bamidbar, 'Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will make myself known in the eyes of many peoples, and they will know that I am the Hashem.'" A pasuk that is found in Yechezkel. Let him also recite the present verse, "Blessed be the name of Hashem from this time forth and forever." Our sages teach, what is the meaning of praise Hashem? Praise, it means praising by many praises. The singer goes on to indicate these many praises. At the outset, "Praise, O you servants of Hashem, and those above and those below. Praise the name of Hashem, for He and His name are one. Also declare, 'Blessed be the name of Hashem from this time forth and forever.' Declare further, 'From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of Hashem is praised.' Multiply His praises in every way that you can possibly can, for Hashem is high above all the nations. His glory is over the heavens, and this is especially true in the sight of all Israel." Our sages said further, "On the night of the plague of the firstborn, Paro shrieked, 'In the past you have been my slaves, but now behold, you are free men. You are your own masters, yet you are servants of Hashem. Therefore must you acclaim Him for being His servants.' Thus it says, 'Hallelujah, praise Hashem, praise all you, the servants of Hashem.' The present psalm is the first of six psalms designated as the Hallel service for those days when this service is obligatory. The initial two psalms are expressions of thanksgiving to Hashem for the Exodus from Egypt. Thus at the outset the singer recounts Hashem's beneficence to the people of Israel. Hallelujah, when Israel came forth out of Egypt. Not to us, O Hashem, not to us. The third psalm is a prayer to Hashem about the present long and bitter exile. Then King David mentions the private miracle that happened to him personally, as he says, "How can I repay to Hashem all His bountiful dealings towards me?" He continues by declaring, "I will lift up the cup of deliverance and call upon the name of Hashem. that is, many should become converts to the Jewish people. Similarly, it is written about Avraham, he called upon the name of Hashem and the souls that they had acquired in Choron. Pasuk is found at Psukim that are found in Sefer Bereishis. Then the Torah goes on to explain what it means to call in the name of Hashem. That is, praise Hashem, all you nations. It means to make known the greatness of Hashem among all the peoples on earth. All these psalms are called the Egyptian Hallel, which is based on redemption from Egypt, whose final stage was the splitting of the Sea of Suf. The Hallel encompasses all the redemptions and everything that happens to the Jewish people in all generations. It also includes the glorification of Hashem's name. In the Hallel, we praise Hashem both for the times of our ascent and for the times of our descent. For we well know that everything happens under His supervision. That is the meaning of the figurative, from the rising of the sun to its setting. This extends from the time of the Exodus from Egypt until the end of all the generations. Who composed the Hallel? Rabbi Yossi said, my son and Elazar said that Moshe and Israel composed it when they came up out of the sea. His colleagues dispute their view. They say that David composed it, but his view appeals to me more than their view. Is it then possible that the Israelites slaughtered the Paschal lamb, performed the ritual of the palm branches, and yet did not recite a song? According to our sages, the full Hallel pertains to the past and to the future. It pertains to the current generations, to the days of the Mashiach, and it pertains to the days of Gog and Magog, when Israel came forth out of Egypt. Pertains to the past, not to us, O Hashem, not to us, pertains to the generations. I love that Hashem should hear, pertains to the days of Mashiach. All nations are around about me, pertains to the days of Gog and Magog, and you are my Hashem, and I will give thanks to you, pertains to the future. Our sages have also said that there are 18 days when one completes the Hallel. They include the 8 days of Sukkot plus Shmini Atzeres, the 8 days of Chanukah, the first day of the Pesach Yontif, and the first day of Shavuos. Outside the land of Israel, the Hallel is recited a total of 21 days, 9 days of Sukkot plus Shmini Atzeres, the 8 days of Chanukah, and the first 2 days of Pesach, and the 2 days of Shavuos. They point to the word Bevetach, the trust, as a handy way to remember it. 8 is Chanukah, Tes, 2 is based to the apparent reason for this is that the trust, Betochen Hashem, is mentioned a number of times in the Hallel. As it says, O Israel, trust in Hashem. O house of Aaron, trust in Hashem. You that fear Hashem, trust in Hashem. Which we're going to learn a little bit later on. The Hallel is not complete unless one has trust in Hashem. They have also said that this Hallel was arranged for the people of Israel by the prophets among them. They intended that the people should recite it on the occasions of their redemption, and they should also recite it in commemoration of those occasions when trouble struck and they found deliverance. They should recite it when the redemption comes. The sages have also stated that Hallel is not recited less than 3 times, since it says Hallelujah, Hallelujah. The plural Hallelujah means at least 2. Hallel was also recited by the Hashmonaim and his sons after the downfall of Greece. They recited it in the past form, namely they said that once we were slaves to Mitzrayim and to Greece, but now we are servants of Hashem. Praise, O you servants of Hashem. Some relate the present psalm to the future redemption. We will praise Hashem for having sustained us among the nations who repeatedly wanted to annihilate us. At that future time, when we will be solely servants of Hashem rather than in bondage to the nations, we will praise Hashem. We will make His name renowned throughout the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. This psalm also affirms our recognition of divine providence, both as regards the past redemption from its rhyme and the future redemption. The name of Hashem should be blessed by His creatures. The time for this from this time forth and forever, for the Holy One is the source of blessings, and no time limits apply to Him. Therefore, blessed be the name of Hashem from this time forth and forever. Although at the present time we are in exile, we say, blessed be the name of Hashem, the name that we blessed at the Exodus from Egypt. from this time forth and forever, for troubles too serve a good purpose. The Medrash Tilim says, you bless me from this time forth and forever, and I will do the same. Thus it says, so Hashem is round about his people from this time forth and forever. We will continue Mitzvah Hashem in our next year.